Guys, I was wrong about something, and it's time for me to come clean and admit I was wrong. You guys will see what I was wrong about with this team in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Use promo code Locked On. So, guys, I'm recording this right after the Bulls lost. And it's time for me to come clean. It's time for me to absolutely come clean with you guys and admit that I was completely 100%, probably my worst take ever. I'm not going to lie to you. It might be the worst take I've ever had in the history of Locked On Pistons. It might be the worst take I've ever had in the history of me trying to cover basketball. Worst take I've ever had. And it was when I told you guys in the offseason that I was tired of seeing this team try to focus too much on defense. Take a step back on defense and try going more offense because the offense is so bad. Try to focus on offense a little bit more, even if it means taking a step back defensively. I lied. I was off. It was by far the worst take I've ever had in my life. The Pistons right now rank 29th in defensive efficiency. I don't care what that says. The Pistons are by far the worst defensive team in the league. I haven't watched the Spurs, but I refuse to believe that there's a team out there that can be as bad as the Pistons defensively. I refuse to believe it. And this was the first game, real quick. This was the first game of the suspension for Killian Hayes. He serves two more. He'll be back on Wednesday. Hamidou Diallo should be back if he plays in the rotation, but he should be back in tonight's game on New Year's Eve. But anyways, the defense is putrid. It's some of the worst defense I've ever witnessed in my entire life. And I'm cool before I even get into the game. But I'm completely cool if the Pistons decide to replace the entire wing rotation. I'm on board because the lack of defense and lack of athleticism on the wing is startling. The defense was horrific. It's terrible. Their best wing defender is a guard in Killian Hayes. Their wing defense is horrid. It's terrible. In this game, the Pistons gave up 132 points to the Bulls. And look, as soon as you start Sadiq Bey and Bojan Bogdanović together, you're basically spotting the other team 125 points at least. At least they're going to score 125. The defense was so bad, you guys. It was so bad that they started outright double-teaming Zach LaVine. Not when he got in the post, or not when he went in the pick-and-roll and trapped him. They were outright double-teaming Zach LaVine 6 minutes into the game. Not in the second. He didn't heat up into the fourth, and then they started doubling him. He had 18 in the first quarter, and it got so bad out the gate. Immediately out the gate, it was so bad, they just started outright doubling him instantly. That's how bad this defense was. This defense is horrid. I was wrong. I don't ever want to see a defense this bad again. I don't care if it means your offense takes a step back. I watched the Pistons have a bad offense the last few years. I would rather watch that than what I'm watching right now with this defense. This is disgusting. There was multiple possessions. And look, Jaden Ivey started, and he had a fine offensive game. But look, there's no way. There's no way in hell that I can come on this podcast and talk about anything good offensively or talk about anything positive with the kind of effort we just watched defensively. There were multiple possessions, guys. If you guys missed the game, I'm going to try to explain this the best way possible. Try to give you guys paint the picture for you guys. In the fourth quarter, the Chicago Bulls were running pick and roll with DeMar DeRozan, and they were using Caruso as the screener. They were doing this so they could get Ivy involved in screen and roll, and they could try to get the switch of DeMar on Jaden Ivy. Well, they didn't even have to worry about getting the switch, because I kid you not, there were two possessions when Ivy wasn't even on the other side of the ball, on the other side of the screen, I mean, and he came around the screen and had a straight runway to the basket, some of the best, easiest drives DeMar will ever have in his life. There were multiple times where it looked like they were supposed to switch, but him and Sadiq just messed it up. There was one play where Sadiq just let him go right back the other way, away from the screen from Caruso. The Pistons, their inability to properly execute a simple trap. You're just simply asking the dudes to be on both sides of the screen and then trap the ball handle. You're not asking them to do anything complex. You're not asking the guards to play in drop coverage or to hedge and then get back. You're simply asking them to trap. Now, on numerous occasions, either one, the guy was on the other side of the screen, or two, Bade just let him go away from the screen and beat him off the dribble. Heck, there was one play in the fourth quarter when they set this screen with Caruso, and somehow, some way, both Sadiq Bey and Jaden Ivey were both chasing DeMar off the screen. No one was on the other side, and somehow both of them ended up on the other side of the screen and were just wrapping around chasing him. I've never seen it before in my life. It was some of the worst defensive display I've ever witnessed in a basketball game. And I just played a pickup game this morning. I was playing pickup this morning at my old high school, and we didn't play as bad defense as that. That was horrific. Another defensive possession in the fourth. Zach LaVine has the ball at the top of the key, top of the three-point line. Jalen Duren comes sprinting from the right side of the floor because he's coming out to flat out double-team Zach LaVine. When you double-team a player, I don't know if you guys know this, if you guys are aware, but when you're double-teaming a guy, your sole, as a player in the double-team, your sole responsibility, you have two responsibilities. One, don't let him beat you your side, force him the other way into the other side of the double-team. And then two, don't let him split the double-team. Well, you know, they did both. Jalen Duren came sprinting from the right side of the court to come double team. And before he could even get to LaVine and trap him, Bojan let him go the other way and just beat him off the dribble. Wide open three because LaVine got all the way to the basket. I kid you not, guys. I have not seen a team not be able to play defense this horrid in my life. Those things I just said to you are elementary stuff. I can't believe what I was watching in this game defensively. It's disgusting. The Bulls shot 57% from the field, 44% from deep. It looked like it was just easy. They were getting anything they wanted. Zach LaVine shot 15 to 20. He missed five shots. He had 43 on the Pistons. He missed five shots. Five. That's all he missed. Every single player on the floor. The defense, man, is just. They have to do something. They have to completely replace this. This roster's bad. This roster's bad, and it's because defensively, they don't have any good defenders. And you're not going to win in this league without good defenders. You're definitely not going to win without any wing defenders, which is why I'm completely cool if they just decide to replace every single wing defender wing player going into the next season. You can't have this many bad defenders on one team. And you can't have this many bad wings on defense on one team. It's bad. And then also, look, on the last podcast, I said I thought they'd start Rodney Magruder. The decision to start Jaden Ivey, Sadiq Bey, and Bojan Bogdanovic on the perimeter, that was like taking a double-barrel shotgun and shooting yourself in both your kneecaps. That's what that was like. Because, oh my goodness, man. I know I'm ranting. I'm really excited over this because, like, dude, I couldn't believe the defense I was watching. I've never seen it that bad. It was shocking. This team has been bad defensively all year. Like I said, they're 29th in defensive efficiency. But like, dude, I don't think I've seen them play this bad of defense in a game. They've had some bad defensive games, but this one might be at the top. This one easily might be at the top. They couldn't even execute regular pick and roll coverage. They couldn't even simply be on other sides of screens. Like it was, oh my goodness. It's wild, man. It's wild, but whatever. Let me know what you guys think about that. What you guys saw defensively tonight from the Pistons in the comment section down below or over on Twitter. Guys, look, before we move on, 132 points on 57, 44, 93 splits as a team. All I can do is laugh. Oh my God. Anyways, when I come back, I guess we'll move to the offense, which wasn't as putrid. I guess we can talk about some of the fun things we saw offensively, I guess. When we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about some of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you guys a little bit about Prize Picks. So Prize Picks is my favorite daily fantasy option out there. I'm telling you, and this is why. You simply pick 2 to 6 players, and you will see if they can score more or less on their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. So for example, you can take Luka Doncic's over on his points. You can take the over on Jane Ivey's points. Then you can even go across sports, the football, and take the over on Patrick Mahomes' passing yards and put them all into the same entry. That's why I love it so much. You can do cross sports entries. It's so much fun. It's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. This includes NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and even esports. I don't know about y'all, but I'm into the, you know, the esports scene. I like watching professional gaming. I saw Optic on there for some Call of Duty stuff. I almost took some stuff on Optic. That's the kind of thing you can do over there. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's just that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational over 30 states and Canada. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Again, at PrizePicks, use promo code Locked On. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So I know I just spent like the entire first segment ranting about the defense, but I guess we can be a little bit more positive here. So right at the gate, the Pistons did decide to start Sadiq Bey at the shooting guard position with Killian Hayes serving his 3-game suspension. I thought they'd go Rodney Magruder. They did not. I don't know if it really helped them offensively. Sadiq had a bad night. He shot 4 of 13 from the field, 2 of 7 from deep. He had 2 turnovers. He was a team high or team low, minus 17 on the game. Bojan also struggled, 8 of 19 from the floor. He was a minus 16. Both of them were just horrific on defense. But with them deciding to start Sadiq Bey, that meant that we were going to get what I talked about in the last podcast, which was more on-ball reps for Jane Ivey. Jane Ivey with a chance to kind of try to run the offense, kind of get the team into their offenses, changing the tempo, knowing what tempo to go at, etc. Try to get him some reps doing all that stuff. And how did he do tonight? Well, he shot 6 of 10 from the floor. He shot 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Love that. Love the fact he got to the free throw line 9 times, and even love the fact more that he was making them. 2 of 5 from deep. He had 22 points and 6 assists with 3 turnovers. So how do I – well, first off, he was finishing really well, scoring the basketball. He did really, really good job and drawing fouls. He was really good in that department. But how was he running the offense? How was he as the point guard? To be honest, I thought he was a little bit better than I thought. I thought he would really struggle with it. He was a little bit better. Now, look, he had his struggles at times. He'd had back-to-back turnovers in the third quarter that were really, really bad. But outside of that, there's some things that he still needs to work on. He wasn't perfect. There was times where, he rushed into a half-court offense, tried to go all the way to the rim off a made field goal from the Bulls, and got the Pistons into some wonky offense with like 10 seconds left on the shot clock, and they ended up forcing up a bad look. That's some things that, he's just going to have to learn from. And that's probably my biggest criticism of him right now as the lead ball handler is that he tries to move too fast off of made field goals sometimes. He thinks he can just beat guys straight to the rim. And then when he doesn't, he has to kick out, and then it ends up, throwing off the whole offense. They can't get into their set. By the time they do, it's 6 seconds left. That's probably my biggest critique. But outside of that, I actually thought he did an okay, fine job. I thought he showed some real promise. I thought he made a really big effort at times to find his teammates open. I thought he really tried at times to – you saw him like – the thing with Ivy that I like watching about him is that you can see, like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but you can visually see when he's like purposely, like he's trying hard to show something, like he's trying to put effort into doing something. And you could very clearly see that he was trying to really show that he's trying to set up this offense. Like he knows he has to set up the offense. He knows that's what's being asked of him now. So he was really trying to do that. And I thought he did for a lot of the game. Again, he wasn't perfect. He had a lot, a few mistakes, turnovers, a few mistakes rushing the tempo. But overall, I thought he did a really good job driving, kicking, trying to find open guys. I thought he did a really good job trying to draw fouls and being aggressive, using his speed, his ability to beat guys to the spot. I thought he did a really good job with that. And again, yeah, I thought he just did a good job getting them into some early sets. So I was really happy with him offensively. Now, he only played 29 minutes. And look, this has been a complaint that we've had all year. I've had all year with Dwayne Casey, that the young guys are not playing more than 30 minutes. I don't get it. You're not resting them for April. They're not going to the playoffs. What are you resting them for? Jaden Ivey only played 29 minutes. Sadiq with 30 minutes. Jalen Duren with 30 minutes. Stu played 33. Like, oh my God. But look, I don't know why they don't play more minutes than this. Because I thought Ivy, look, if the argument is going to be the reason why they keep getting less minutes because of defense, it's hard for me to push back against it because of just how bad they were defensively. But the problem is everyone on the team is basically awful defensively. So it's not like you're subbing in someone else who's better and like, you know, showing a better example. No, they're all bad defensively. So I feel like at this point, this is something you just have to accept. The team's going to be bad defensively if they're having good offensive game playing more minutes. And I know people have already pushed back against me. Some of you guys tweet at me on Twitter saying, look, you can't play him that many minutes. He's going to be that bad defensively. Look, usually I would agree with that. I absolutely see that. If you're going to be just giving up as many points as you're giving up or as you're scoring even more defensively, usually I agree with that almost 99% of the time. But when the person you're bringing in is Kojo, who has looked absolutely washed the past month, let's just call it how it is. He hasn't looked like he can play real NBA minutes anymore. It looks like age has come at him fast, or he's just, I don't know what it is. But he's been awful for a month. When he's the guy replacing it, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, if the Pistons had an Ayo Dosunmu coming in and you're bringing in an offensive guard, okay, then I would get that. But the guys you're bringing in to show a better example defensively aren't doing that. So just play the guys their minutes. If they're playing a good offensive game, they're doing some good stuff you like to see, play them some more minutes, man. Let them get some more reps and really try to push the boundaries of what they could do offensively. Because again, like I said, I think defensively you just have to accept that the fact this team's not going to get better defensively. It's just not going to happen. They're not good. They're not good defensively. There's no scheme that's going to make up for this. There's no, you know, effort. Effort maybe could make it a little bit better, but they're just not good defenders. So I don't know. I don't know if they should, unless it's like a close game and you're subbing in who you think is the better defender, I don't know if they should really be doing, or if Dwayne Casey should really be judging minutes off of defense. But also, like, I don't want to get too far off, too extreme with it and act like defense doesn't matter. You can just play them however many minutes you want, even though they're playing awful defense. Like, I don't want to go too far with it. I agree that defense needs to be played and they need to be punished for a defense like tonight. But like, if that's the case, you need the guys you're bringing in to set better examples defensively. Then that would be the pushback I have. But yeah, man, I thought Ivy really was the only positive. Alec Burks too. Alec Burks, he was really good, but he's a vet. That's why I don't really mention him as much. You kind of expect him to do that. This team's more about the young guys developing and getting better. But Alec Burks, he's 7 of 9 tonight, 4 of 4 from deep. He's been excellent for the Pistons since playing here, man. He's just been really, really good for the Pistons. I believe he's only missed 3 shots last 2 games. I believe last game he was 11 of 12. So he's right now, he's what, 18 of 22 right now, 19 of 22 over the last 3 games. He's only missed 1 3 the last 2 games. He's on an absolute burner. He's been great for the Pistons. Absolutely fantastic. So him, Rodney Magruder actually was one of their better players tonight. Like, legit, I'm not joking. He was actually really good defensively for them. He made some really nice off-ball plays defensively and was really good offensively. I thought he legit was really good. I can't lie. Rodney Magruder was balling. Can't lie to him. So those guys, Jaden Ivey had a nice offensive game, but outside of that, man, it was a struggle for them on both sides of the floor. And yeah, man, it was a tough scene defensively, but is what it is. When we come back, we'll finish off the thoughts with this game against the Chicago Bulls. But first, I gotta tell you guys about one of our sponsors. This time, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball, they've got it all at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. If you click on the basketball tab, you will see they got the betting odds favorites for MVP, Sixth Man of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, odds to win the championship. Who's the favorite right now? Who's the favorite to finish with the worst record with the best chance to get Victor Wembanyama? They got all that under the basketball tab at betonline.net. You can also look at the NFL tab. Obviously, the season's coming to a close over there. They got the odds favorites for their MVPs, comeback player, defensive player, offensive player, all that kind of stuff over there. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So I hope you guys are enjoying your New Year's Eve. Have a happy new year. Hope you guys enjoy that with friends and family, wherever you guys are, however you guys are celebrating. If you guys are going out to party or whatever, just be safe. Hope you guys enjoy your time. If you guys do decide to spend your night watching the Pistons, hopefully they give you a better game than this. But yeah, I hope you guys have a fun time, whatever you guys decide to do. Just some other thoughts, finish it off. Not going to be a long podcast, not going to be a long third segment. Just want to finish off with some final thoughts with the Pistons here. One, Patrick Williams was really, I really liked what I saw from Pat Will, and I talked with the Bulls, a Bulls content guy during the game. We had him on over at playback.tv. If you guys want to watch games with me and Bryce Simon, who's host of the Pistons Pulse podcast, we host a live watch party every Pistons game over at playback.tv/PistonsWatch. Just go ahead and go over there, join the room. It's a lot of fun if you guys want to join us one of these times. But we were talking with one of their Chicago Bulls content creators, and you know, some of the things they were saying about Pat Will kept me still interested in him. And then when I saw from him within the game, I really liked what I saw from him. So, you know, I think the Pistons, if the Bulls are going to be buyers instead of sellers, I don't know which way they're going to go, but if they're going to try to go all in and continue to try to build around these guys, I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't be too against moving Bojan for Pat Will. I really would like Pat Will on this team. So yes, one of the takeaways I had, some minor takeaways. I like Patrick Williams. So if there's still a way the Pistons could somehow get him, I would take him. I think he has a chance to be really damn good, especially if you got some increased usage on a different team where he could really try to show some of the improvements he's made on ball. I would like that. I would like to take a chance on him. Maybe not a chance. He's just a good player. He's shooting 40% from deep this year. But yeah, I would really like Patrick Williams if they could get him somehow. That's one. Two, Kevin Knox, he got 14 minutes tonight. He shot 1 of 3 from the floor. Hamidou Diallo comes back tonight on New Year's Eve. I don't think Kevin Knox did enough to, you know, push back against Hamidou Diallo taking his minutes. Again, I think Kevin Knox's archetype is an archetype they need on the floor because they need shooting, someone who can space the floor. And again, he had a really good like 16, 17 game stretch where he was shooting 50% from deep. I know he struggled the last three games shooting, but still he had a long sample size of him playing really well. So I don't like the fact that he's been kicked out the rotation, but yeah, I don't think he did anything against the Bulls that's going to stop or for him to, you know, stave off Hamidou Diallo from taking his minutes tonight and moving forward until Hamidou Diallo has a bad game. So I'm going to guess you see Hamidou Diallo. Actually, you guys probably will see him anyways because Killian is still out. So you might even see both of them. But yeah, Kevin Knox didn't really make the most out of his opportunity tonight with a chance to kind of get his minutes back. Marvin Bagley returned tonight against the Chicago Bulls. He had missed the last few games due to an illness that was not COVID related. He shot 3 of 6 tonight. He was him against Drummond on the other team. It was Drummond won those minutes pretty convincingly. I thought Drummond played really well for the Bulls. I'm used to saying for the Pistons. Sorry. But he had 12 and 7 against Bagley. He was just pushing him around in the glass. Bagley only had 2 rebounds. So those were some minutes Bagley versus Drummond that they just didn't win. And you can't really expect Bagley to win those matchups. Drummond's just bigger and a way better rebounder. So kind of a tough matchup here for Bagley on both ends of the floor. So nice to see him return. Got a tough matchup in his first game back. And we'll probably see him play a little bit more than 13 minutes moving forward. This is his first game back, obviously, so they're probably trying to take it easy with him. Like I said, Corey Joseph continues to look awful. It's crazy how awful he's looked. I don't see how you can keep, he has to get minutes now, but man, I don't know what you do with, I think Kodjo has to just like, as soon as Killian gets back, he needs to just be glued to the bench. Like he went from being that vet that can come on the floor and play and be a stable presence to just being a vet on the bench in the locker room. Cause he's been bad. He's been really bad on the court for a while now. Isaiah Stewart, you saw Stu have a lot of dribble drive attempts. He shot 6 of 15 from the floor. Not very good. 2 of 7 from deep. Not very good. But a lot of those misses were him trying to do dribble drive stuff, and it was not very successful. Stu has a very awkward dribble drive kind of game. It doesn't look pretty. Sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't, but I'm happy with the fact that he's trying it. But yeah, it's very awkward how he drives. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look right, but, yeah, I'm cool with him continuing to try to build off of his three-point shot and add that dribble drive, though. So this game, though, he struggled with it again. I thought Vooch did a really good job defensively for the Bulls. I didn't expect Vooch to be this good defensively for them tonight. I didn't think Vooch was a good defender, and maybe he isn't. Maybe he just had a good game defensively. You guys can let me know if you guys watch the Bulls more. But I seriously thought Vooch did a really damn good job defensively on Durant and Stu. So he made it tough on them. So give them credit on that. Sometimes when the other team just plays better and makes it tough, you got to give them credit. I thought Vooch just made it really tough on Stu and Durant. So is what it is. But those are basically all my thoughts on this game. I don't want to talk too long. That's why it's a short podcast, because of the defense. The defense was so bad. I weighed whether not even recording this episode because I didn't want to spend the whole episode talking about the defense. But it was, if you watch the game, you understand why I'm so like flustered by the defense, because that was it was easily their worst defensive performance of the year. That was bad. That was like, my God. But is what it is. That's all I've got for you guys today, though. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Subscribe at the YouTube channel, 5-star review, whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. Happy New Year's year. Happy New Year's Eve, my goodness, and have a great new year. And stay safe out there, everybody. Of course, if you're going out to party or anything, make sure you guys are staying safe. But until next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe, go Pistons, and peace out.